two decades ago, would you have guessed there would be one place where you could buy just about anything your heart desires with one click of a button, from clothes to groceries and everything in between? Well, today we know that space is Amazon, and it's worth more than $1 trillion. Its CEO, Jeff Bezos, has a personal fortune greater than the GDP of many countries. Well, a new book details Amazon's lightning speed rise over the last few years and how the company has upended industries in every corner of the economy. Brad Stone is senior executive editor of technology at Bloomberg News and author of the new book, Amazon Unbound, Jeff Bezos and the Invention of a Global Empire. Welcome.
Hi, Tanya. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. Well, this is not your first book about Amazon. In fact, you write that when you published The Everything Store way back in 2013, you thought you had actually written the comprehensive book on Amazon's rise. But of course, that was before so many of the technologies we use now from Amazon came to be. Are you surprised by just how huge it has grown since you wrote your first book?
Oh, absolutely. I think when I published the first book, the market capitalization of Amazon was about $80 billion. It is today close to $1.7 trillion. I mean, that kind of growth is unheard of. You know, the sprawl into almost every industry imaginable, the growth of its cloud computing business, its expansion into other countries like India, new products like Alexa, and then this sort of dawning sense, and I think this is probably the big thing that changed, that this was not just an innovative story of entrepreneurship and internet magic, but a kind of story about monopoly and a company that's gotten so big that people are really starting to worry about it.
This book is also about the company, but also Jeff Bezos, the CEO, and his very particular management style. You write he takes on a very hands-on approach to things like product management, like the development of Amazon Web Services, for instance. Bezos would actually ask executives in other parts of the company, what are you doing for AWS? And he did the same thing later with Echo. Just how involved is he in the product management in the day-to-day and why?
Right. It actually varies. What I found in researching this book is he has taken a very active role in the creation of new businesses and products and then the sponsorship. So early on, he had the idea for Alexa. He emailed executives with this idea of creating a $20 computer whose brains are in the cloud, completely controllable by your voice. And then he draws the first whiteboard drawing of an Echo device. And then he meets with that team sometimes multiple times a week, picks the name Alexa. And so that's sort of one operating style. And then on the other end, he actually has taken a very hands-off approach and I think has become increasingly distant from the bigger parts of Amazon, and that's AWS and the retail business. And now we see that, you know, on July 5th, he's going to really step back formally and no longer be CEO. But I think he'll continue to, you know, he says he'll continue to do what he's been doing these past few years, which is really micromanage the newer things that he can get excited about.
I want to ask you about that micromanagement, because your book really lays out well how demanding of a CEO he is. He has this habit of forwarding emails from customers to other executives and adding a single question mark, which meant he expected an answer to that question within 24 hours. You also write that Bezos would forward those question mark emails in the middle of the night. What else did you learn about Bezos's management style?
Well, it's really evolved over the years. So the question mark emails have remained somewhat consistent, and occasionally they will be accompanied by a little note like WTF question mark. And when you get one of those, you know, I think that it's real panic inducing.
I'm sure.
But if you can only imagine. But early on, he really had a brusque style, and he could be incredibly demeaning towards employees. And in Amazon Unbound, I actually flash back to meetings where he would find a mathematical error in a memo and rip up the document and kind of throw it across the table and walk out. And I think over the years, he sort of realized that with his, you know, the increase of his stature, the growth of the company, that he could no longer do that. And so he sort of bottled that up. But he really does wield this potent mixture of inspiration and intimidation.
Brad, I want to talk to you more about Bezos' ambitions for Amazon, because as we know, it goes well beyond retail. Amazon is now a cloud computing giant, a physical retailer, a major player in Hollywood. And then there's Bezos' personal acquisitions of the Washington Post and this space exploration company, Blue Origin. What exactly does Bezos get out of all of these different companies? Why isn't he content with dominating one sector of the economy like retail?
I mean, they're different, right? He bought the Washington Post opportunistically because it was available, because he thought he could make a difference with a declining media institution, and he certainly has. Blue Origin, a space company, is a childhood passion, although, you know, they have yet to really show significant results. And with Amazon, I think the underlying value there is change and transformation. He realized early on when Amazon was just a plain old bookseller, if people remember that, that, you know, on the internet, companies need to evolve and constantly need to reinvent themselves. You know, transformation and the willingness to reinvent is what underlies a lot of these moves.
Amazon is, of course, embroiled in multiple antitrust investigations. But you write that to make a credible case for breaking up Amazon, the trust busters will have to answer questions the company goes to remarkable lengths to obscure. Is Amazon actually vulnerable to being broken up or meaningfully penalized for anti-competitive business practices? Or is it, right, as you suggest, almost invincible?
I have a difficult time seeing how Amazon is ever broken up. I mean, you go back to the 1990s where Microsoft was targeted by the Department of Justice, a multi-year investigation, and that case was strong. Microsoft had more than a 95% share of the operating system market for desktops. It was a monopoly, and it wasn't broken up. And then you look at Amazon today, and it competes in these very large markets like retail, where it probably still has a single-digit percentage of the market, even in North America, or enterprise computing, where the biggest competitor is Microsoft, which is actually a larger company by market cap. And it's very difficult to make the case that, you know, Amazon is a monopoly. Now, I do think there will be productive lines of inquiry and antitrust investigations into Amazon. And in fact, last May, the Attorney General of Washington, D.C. filed a case against Amazon saying that its price parity provisions were anti-competitive. And that's basically Amazon's rule that sellers can't sell for a lower price on their own website and on competing services. And Amazon can make the argument that Walmart does something like that and Target does something like that. But I think as Amazon gets ever larger, provisions like that, it's going to have to back away from. So I don't think Amazon will be broken up. I think that's a difficult case to make. I think that the trust busters are quite distracted with all the companies they have to investigate now. But I do think Amazon's going to get a lot of attention and might have to change the way it conducts business.
Amazon is coming out of this pandemic stronger than ever, thanks to record sales while everyone was quarantined. You write Amazon was unique among companies of its size because it actually got in front of questions, like releasing numbers of how many frontline employees tested positive for COVID, and that it spent billions on COVID protections, but that during the pandemic, it also fired several workers who mounted prominent campaigns, you know, agitating and pushing for stronger safety protocols. Where does Amazon stand now as the U.S. seems like it's emerging from the worst of this pandemic?
I would agree that Amazon, the business, came out of COVID very healthy. Almost perversely, the company that had all the advantages going into the pandemic had even more during it. The stores closed and competitors were crippled. So in that respect, the business got almost an injection of steroids. But from a public image perspective, they did actually kind of get hammered. And in terms of the safety precautions and advertising some of their moves, a lot of it was in response to criticism. I don't know that they got ahead of it. And the way in which they acted to dismiss whistleblowers, I just think it left a lot of people inside and outside the company with a little bit of distaste. So there are more questions than ever about the character of this company.
With that, though, you know, the thing about Amazon is it's constantly elevating our expectations. And I'm just wondering from you how you view Amazon's role in really shaping culture and society. How has Amazon changed really our ways and modes of being and our expectations, not just in consumerism, but also in our day-to-day lives, how we work, what we expect out of goods and services? It's really revolutionized society.
It really has. And I write in the book that I don't think there's a company or a person who's done more to change our economic reality. It's also changed the fabric of our communities. And I look outside my door right now and I see Amazon vans crawling up and down my neighborhood, dropping off products, and Amazon trucks on the highway. You know, and then also, frankly, stores on Main Street that are empty, probably because of the pandemic, but certainly Amazon has had an impact, and it has, you know, staged an assault on independent bookstores. And so we've lost something as well. And it's really hard, and I've tried to grapple with this in the book, to kind of tally, you know, has this been good for society? Has it not? And in the end, we need to understand this company and kind of vote with our dollars if we want to see, you know, the stores and the culture and the commerce survive in our communities.
That's Brad Stone, senior executive editor for technology at Bloomberg News and author of the new book, Amazon Unbound, Jeff Bezos and the Invention of a Global Empire. Brad, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you, Tanya.